Hey there, my name is Greg Hayner, and today I'm really excited to be doing an interview with Christina Dixon, portrait photographer and owner of Bride Inspired. Christina is going to be lending some tips and insights regarding her workflow and how she handles wedding photography. I think it's going to be really helpful for those of you who are listening to this interview, and I know I'm excited. I hope you guys are. So, I guess, Christina, my first question for you is, how would you describe the purpose of your business, Bride Inspired?
Well, when I first went through the process of branding my business and trying to figure out what I wanted to stand for, I knew that I wanted to do philanthropy work and weddings additionally, and I didn't really want to have two separate brands for those, but it was very difficult to link them, and I decided to focus on the idea that my work exists to tell stories of love, hope, and beauty. And that is something that I look to do with both my philanthropy missions work and within Bride Inspired. I just feel like when you can show people what love is, it does give them hope, and people are always drawn to beauty. So the combination of those three things, I just feel like, is a really strong brand that's also very authentic to me and what I, you know, I want my contributions to be for the visual world, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really shows through with your photos too, that's for sure. Okay, so my next question is, how did you get your start in portrait and wedding photography?
Mostly I just did it, honestly. I really loved taking pictures. When I first got started, I found that there was a lot of power to especially giving girls pictures of themselves that, you know, they never, in a way that they had never seen themselves before. And there was one specific session that I did for a friend's sister. And my friend told me after our session, her sister just all of a sudden had this vision of, like, that she was important and had worth and actually could do something to contribute to the world with her gifts and talents. And it was a way that she'd never seen herself before. So that was really powerful to me when I was first starting out. And
I bet.
So that was a little bit of a start, but a lot of it was doing it, doing a lot of portrait shooting, mini sessions, just experimenting really. Mm-hmm. And that was the first, portraits was the very first thing that I started with.
And how did that kind of lead into weddings, or was that just kind of a natural transition for you?
I was asked by the friend of a friend to do a wedding, and I thought that would be an interesting challenge, so I just went ahead and said that I would be good for doing that, and then I was only paid $300 for it, and I actually had another friend help me. We loved it, and so it made it really easy to want to continue, which is a great experience. So from there, you know, a lot of it was just me being really personable with people in my portrait sessions. And the first couple weddings I did actually came from the results of a mission trip that I was the photographer for. And my goal was to take portraits of everybody on the team. And it just so happened that two of the girls on that team just absolutely loved my pictures of them. And it's because of that that they asked me to do their weddings before I was even doing weddings. So that was really cool. But it wasn't really intentional. It just kind of happened. And I mean, I'm grateful that it happened because I just found it so fun. And I was really, really thrilled to do it. So it worked out.
Well, that's great. That's great. So I guess my next question for you is, what do you most enjoy about being a creative professional?
I kind of think it's a little bit of a necessity for me because I love working with people, and at the same time, I love the self-expression that I can, it keeps life interesting.
Yes, I understand. I do understand
I
that.
I think I would really get bored with just about anything else because it keeps life interesting. I love the variety and the adventure and the connecting with people. Like, that's just, I just love that. I just absolutely love that.
Which kind of leads into my next question, which is, how do you connect with your subjects?
I would say I'm very, very involved with connecting with my subjects. I once heard from Jerry Gionis, this was way back at a conference I went to, but he said, when you set up a shot, what you want to do is be very careful of creating a shot where you actually build perfection, and then you step in and you break it so that it feels natural and like real to life.
Yes.
And I have just found that it's totally true. And so that's a large part of what I try to do is I set my shots up so that they're beautiful and they're just lovely and, you know, like have a styled feel, but then I step in and I deliberately try to connect with my subject for that shot on what, emotion or look and feel or expression I want to get out of them. Mm-hmm. And I pull that out of them. So whether it's in what I say to them, whether it's in a question I ask them, and so being engaging on that kind of level helps to break the perfection of how I just set up the shot. It pulls their personal expression out. And I think that it also makes the time really enjoyable for them because they forget that they're sitting there posing and it becomes more of a relational experience.
Yes. Yes. Makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
It took practice on some levels, and then on other levels, I love talking to people. So, it was a very natural part of what I did.
That makes sense. Man, wow. So, if I may ask, then, would you say that you get your inspiration from your images from other images you've seen, or from other photographers, or do you come up with most of these ideas yourself? Do you visualize things on the spot? How do you get the inspiration for your images?
It's a combination of several things. I think, of course, every photographer looks at other people's work, and I think that for me, when I look at other people's work, I am somewhat deliberately asking myself how I can make it my own. And then the person themselves that I'm photographing, that also is a very active component in the shots that I create because I want to be very unique to them. I really, really enjoy just being unique and kind of unexpected, I guess, and artistic at the same time. So for me, that kind of tends to manifest itself by when I go to these locations. I do have an idea of different groupings, but it's more of groupings than it is. I guess it's a combination of groupings and shots. So groupings would be dependent on how many people I actually have. And then the shots are ideas that I have come into the shoot with. But even then, a lot of it really is, I hate to say inspiration of the moment, but I think probably about 50% of it ends up being inspiration of the moment. So you can always prepare, but to a degree.
But something always tends to come up that just either you run out of time, or somebody wants a different shot, or something, or the lighting just isn't right in the one spot, so you got to move over somewhere else. Or yeah, I understand that.
But I tend to do a pretty good job with going after what I want, and part of it is because I think being the oldest of so many kids, I don't really let people push me around. B, I know that I'm being paid to give them a product that they already know they like because they like my work.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so with that as a priority, I just think I'm not really going to let anybody try and take that away from what I want to give my clients because they're paying for it.
Yes.
They already know it's important just because the, you know, different factors of the day make it harder, easier to achieve doesn't mean it's any less important. So
absolutely.
I tend to be a little bit of a stickler for just sticking to getting what I want.
Okay. Well, so I just kind of want to delve into the wedding aspect just a little bit, just briefly here. If you could just briefly describe for me what a typical day looks like for you, just, you know, kind of list how you, you know, what order do you do the shoots in, just briefly kind of describe that.
During the getting ready time of a wedding day, I tend to take getting ready photos first, and then during that time I also get details. Because, I mean, it's fun to get, you know, pretty pictures of brides getting ready and doing their hair and all that. But at the same time, you know, no bride wants 5 trillion pictures of her without her makeup, without her hair finished. So I tend to do details during that time. After that, it is largely up to the client whether we do portraits with a couple before the ceremony or after. So based on that, I either do the bride with her girls or the groom with his guys. So I'll do those combinations with or without each other, the bride and groom. And then from there, I will do the ceremony. And then formal portraits with the family after that. And if they've decided to wait to see each other, then I will go ahead and at that time do the bride and groom. I normally suggest that they have a cocktail hour or have food get started so that we can have some time without being super rushed to get their photos, and then we just move along to the reception. After we've gotten the rest of those pictures, move along to reception. I will get pictures of, I'll try to get pictures of every table with the guests for the bride and groom, and after that, just the typical events of a reception from there. So yeah, that's what I typically do.
Yeah. And obviously it switches back and forth depending on how they want to do things, and certain things, obviously they won't, certain things, the reception or whatever may not occur at all weddings and stuff, but
right.
Yeah. Okay. And I know one of the challenges a lot of wedding photographers face with indoor venues is insufficient lighting. How do you deal with that? I'm sure you've run across that multiple times.
Oh, with indoor venues, I fortunately have only had to I think that this last year may have been the only time that I had to do just indoor shots. And at that, I was really oh man, I was so fortunate because they had already thought of a place, and it was an out-of-town wedding for me. So, but they had thought of this place that actually was a nursery of sorts, and so it was indoors, but it was also lit the way a greenhouse is lit.
Oh, I see. Huh.
And so, and then there were all the plants and all that inside. So, it ended up being almost better than even if we would have just been outside.
Yeah, I bet. Wow.
It was stunningly gorgeous. But that's, I think, the only time that I've ever had to do something exclusively indoors. Mm. And so, you know, for like ceremony, this isn't particularly helpful, but for ceremony, I normally go and scout out, you know, where it is. And then I purchase my camera because I feel like you can't really dictate the ceremony location a lot. And so often it's by chance. And, so I just ended up getting a camera that I can actually,
up the ISO to
yeah.
a horrendous amount.
put it in my own hands.
Yes.
Because flash is really, you know, part of my shooting philosophy is to be invisible, and mm-hmm. a flash, mm-hmm. you cannot do that.
That's for sure. That's
you know,
for
and
sure.
even with having to determine how close your flash is to how much it's going to output at certain distances, all of that, that just mm-hmm. is... Mm-hmm. I just, it makes me have to focus on
too many technical aspects.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't like that.
I understand.
I don't like that when I'm trying to look for shots mm-hmm. it themselves. So I just, I just tried to take control of it myself and go from there.
Yeah. Well, that's great. For group photos now, I know those are another big thing at most weddings. And it seems like group photos can be pretty challenging because you got to make sure all the right people are there together at the same time. And you're dealing with lots of people. Someone may not be as cooperative as others. How do you handle group photos?
I honestly just try to be nice and engaging. And there are a lot of people who just end up being crabby, and they are very annoying to me. But I'm like, you know what? This is the bride and groom's special day. So people should really just suck it up for 2 hours and deal with it. And I try and pull that out of them, you know, like make them remember that, like, why they're there. And once again, I try to be engaging and, you know, just personable on such a level that they don't mind doing what I'm asking them to do, or they don't mind me, you know, moving them and positioning them and all that jazz. You always are going to have crabby people, but in general, I figure if I am nice to them, you know, and engaging, then hopefully they can respect that enough to, and their friends mm-hmm. in order, enough to actually just, you know, cooperate.
Yes, that makes sense. One other, question regarding, weddings, when shooting formals of the bride and groom, I know it's important to try to capture the genuine feelings of the moment. Are most of your formals posed, or are they more spontaneous? And do you find one method works better than another?
That entirely depends on the couple, to be honest. Oftentimes, I find that couples tend to... I either get couples that are very photogenic, they like being posed, they like the camera, they enjoy, you know, pictures. And then there are some that, to save their life, they cannot take a posed picture. So when I come across those kind of things, then
I tend to try and let them be and have them focus on each other rather than me. So it really depends on the couple. It really, really depends on the couple. I'd say probably 50% of the time ends up being, if they're comfortable with the camera, I will pose them for every different shot set. I will also ask them how they are most comfortable interacting with each other. Like if they tend to be more cuddly, or if they tend to hug or hold hands, or whatever they end up doing together naturally is what I try to arrange their photos to be.
Okay. Well, I just have a couple more questions here. I did want you to just give a brief list of the gear you use most often.
Sure. Let's see here. Well, of course, my Mark IV is my camera body. I always have a second photographer with me, so I don't have a second body. I just prefer to work creatively off of someone else. Let's see here. I tend to use my 24-70 the most in terms of lenses for reception, ceremony. I also use my 70-200. I also have a 20-35mm wide angle lens and a 100mm fixed portrait lens that's gorgeous. And those I really do based on A, if I have time to swap lenses, and B, if I have a shot in mind to use them for. So my go-to lens is my 24-70 for by far more than anything else. And then from there, it kind of is based on what shot I'm going after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Could you just briefly describe the workflow after taking your images? Once you have the images, you upload them to your computer. What is your process of handling the files after that? How do you organize them, rename them, edit them, etc.?
Well, of course, after initially uploading, I will pull out probably 5-ish favorites. Well, actually, I go through and I probably select my top 100 favorites first. And then I typically edit those just as motivation. And then after that, I will go through and cull all of my images, pull it down to between 500 and 600. And then from there, I just edit from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And after I'm done editing, I tend to go back through and pull out my images for the love story book, which typically ends up being about 400 pictures or so. Yeah, it typically ends up being about 400 pictures. And then I will export all of those in the correct size to create the book. I will organize everything for the online galleries, export those, get all of my pictures for the album itself. And that kind of is, yeah, I would say that's the general overview of my workflow.
Okay. And do you do all that in Lightroom, or how do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And do you export as JPEGs, TIFFs? How do you handle that?
I will export them as JPEGs. Okay. I will save all of my edits to the DNG files, but I will export them as JPEGs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I just have two more questions for you. Could you name some other projects? Are there any other projects that you're involved in currently that you're excited about, or that you'd like other people to know about?
I'm just getting started this year with a new project. I think I will be calling it Hope Inspired, but it is going to be, I'm trying to decide if I actually want to make it a true nonprofit organization, but essentially I'm going to take a couple of teams of photographers to places like orphanages in Colombia, in Haiti, in Russia, in India, and teach them photography, just have little classes, have cameras donated, teach them how to take, you know, mostly just composition-based photos, and then bring those photos back to the States and hold a fundraiser gallery for the orphanages with these orphans' pictures. So the goal is to, you know, show what their life is like. And then as people buy these prints, they know that all of the money is being raised to actually go back to that child. So I'm really stoked about it because it's kind of threefold impact. My teams that go, they are able to use their art for something that really matters and to touch lives. The orphans themselves, I think it will give them, you know, and truly I want it to be something that is long-term connections are maintained and those relationships. So that will be really important to me, that the orphans are, they're also able to be touched in some ways. And then of course the people who are going through the galleries, they'll be able to, you know, see multimedia presentation about, you know, who this kid is that has taken this collection of photos, and then kind of get a glimpse of what their life is like and know that, you know, whatever picture, I think it's cool because if they get these photos that these kids have taken, you know, they'll put them up in their office or their house, and it'll be a constant reminder that, like, you are really blessed. And at the same time that, you know, just remind them of people who they can always reach outside of their own lives and help. So I'm really, really excited about that project. It's going to take some time simply because I'm not sure if I want to start the project more on the photo side of it, and then after one or two trips, being able to hone in on the experience side of it, then start the next level with doing these actual galleries. So I'm not really sure the practical steps yet, but I do know that we're going to start in Colombia in March, April, and kind of see where it goes from there. So, and that literally is, like, of everything I have ever done within photography, this is what I found to be most central to my heart. And if I'm able to do that, it probably will be what I do for the rest of my life. So that's been really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
I love that I can bring other photographers along for something like that, you know, like just being able to give these opportunities that we, you know, we all as artists want our work to matter, and sometimes it matters most by helping someone else. And so, and oftentimes, you know, people don't know how to do that. I just do. So I really want to, I really want that to be something that I can bring people into.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have your photographers already kind of figured out? Or are you still taking applications? Or
yeah, I am. Let's see here. Every trip, of course, will have different groups. I want it to be geared toward both students and professionals. So the goal is to have these particular trips be about 10 days in length or so, so that people who, you know, like my friend Lindy, who works for Compassion International, she always wanted to go to New Zealand and Fiji with IPS, but could never get 3 to 4 weeks off. And so I want to keep it to 10 days in length so that if it, you know, if a student comes, someone who's in college, they can, you know, that's a realistic amount of time to get work finished. And someone who has a more, you know, obviously not everybody can get 10 days off, but if there is someone who has a more flexible job, 10 days is a lot more doable than even 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
So That said, I have two photographers so far for Columbia. We're going to be taking between 4 and 6. So I am still taking – I actually haven't even put out my invite yet because we just got all of the details finished being talked through on this last Friday, at least for this particular trip. So I'll send out all of my invites and then take applications from there. So it should be – it's just a really, really cool time to see what God is working. And it's also cool to see that, like, in some ways, this project, this is what I would, in some ways, like, always wanted to do. But I had to learn a lot of different things before I could, the door could be opened to that. And different lessons from different projects, everything. All of my experiences have come together for being able to do this. So it's definitely been something that has been built on experiences and on all of the other things that I've been able to live through. So I am so grateful to be able to just have these kind of experiences and.
Yeah, wow.
Bring other people along for the ride.
Yeah, definitely. That's great. That's great. Well, I just have this last question, and that would be, could you give any words of advice to photographers looking to get into the wedding market?
I would say that practice makes perfect. So even if you are able to get gorgeous pictures of the bride, and then the bride and groom later, you're set. So I would say, you know, people who want to get into weddings, they should create or set up shoots of couples or of friends that are like bride and grooms and just start experimenting, playing with that. I also think that another thing really beneficial is emailing photographers in the area, wedding photographers in the area, explaining who you are, asking if they, you know, can keep you in mind if they ever need help with weddings that they are, what they're doing, that you would love to, you know, learn. I think that that really helps because you're able to be a part of the experience more secondhand. You don't have the pressure that the primary photographer does, but you do have those experiences. You're able to create shots. You know, a lot of those photographers, if they're established, then it can help you build a portfolio that you would not have otherwise, you know, been able to build just starting out. So I think that that is really, really important and beneficial. Those two things, I think, are the greatest steps that a photographer could take for setting up and for learning, because it facilitates watching someone else gaining experience without pressure and really just enjoying it. That's how I would recommend getting started in it.
Well, that's great. Thank you. Well, I appreciate you doing this for me. You know, I hope it's beneficial for other people as well. I'm hoping to do a few these interviews with other photographers I know, you know, just try to get some of their insights and stuff, because I tend to be the type of guy that likes to gain as much information and understanding from other people as possible, you know, so that, you know, obviously there's an element to having to learn things yourself, but I think having the insights from people who have been in the business for a long time or, you know, just have the experience, that really helps kind of get you started, you know, when you don't really have any idea of what exactly you're doing. You know, you can do a lot of reading and stuff and studying up on the subject, but sometimes hearing from the personal experiences of other people, I think, is really beneficial. So anyways, I just really appreciate you doing this with me today. Thank you.
Absolutely. And one last point to what you just said, I think that if you know you can take good pictures and you're just confident in your picture taking ability, I would say you just, to a degree, confidence really helps, because I don't know that I ever felt like I knew what I was doing. Like I, you know, did like what you said, you read the books and you give it a go, create shot lists. And from there, you just kind of have to know, like, it's going to work out. Like, this is going to be great. And even if you don't exactly know what you're doing, like, that's okay, because it will come in time. And just having a good, you know, that kind of perspective, that will give you a, I mean, I don't want to sound new agey when I say this, but a certain kind of empowerment to actually be able to do it. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great. Okay, well, good luck with your stuff. Hope it continues to go well and that your project that you're working on comes to fruition.
Thank you so much. Me too. All right. Okay. Talk to you later, Greg.
Yeah, you too. Have a good day.
You too.